Good morning, Twin Cities. Good morning, pet appreciators, and welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Kathy Menard here, your host, along with our wonderful co-host, Dr. Nicole Peralt. Good morning, Dr. Nicole, and how are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good, good. And the big question, let's get it out of the way. Where are you?
Well, I'm actually at home right now, but the second the show is done, I'm hopping in my car. But right now, I'm sitting in the foster room.
All right. All right. Well, hello to all the little foster. How many foster kitties now? Just one, two?
Oh, just two kitties, Brooks and Ninja. Ninja's the diabetic with IBD, and then Brooks is normal.
Brooks is normal. Has Brooks been with you for a while, though? Is he up for adoption?
Yeah, both of them are up for adoption. Brooks has been with us for a couple of years. He's just kind of a shy kitty, but he's perfect. And then Ninja has been maybe about a year or so. He's hilarious, but he needs more of a he totally needs a person who's, you know, worked with a diabetic before, because he is on, you know, vitamin B12 injections every week. But he's the easiest cat. I think he'd be a great kind of first-time diabetic owner. Kitty, because he's so easy to test. His medical needs are sometimes a little bit perplexing. You know, like yesterday, he was beautifully regulated. You know, his blood sugars were in the 1 to 200 range before I gave him his insulin. Now this morning, his blood sugar was 600, and I'm like, what just happened? So sometimes he perplexes even me a little bit. But he keeps me on my toes.
I guess so. Yeah, that is a big swing.
Yes.
You know, one of my clients, and pet appreciators, maybe you know somebody who's been through, who's had a diabetic cat or a dog with diabetes. But, you know, one of my clients said that her cat is now free of diabetes. Does that usually happen, or?
You know, it's very common now.
Okay.
Because, you know, it used to be thought that these cats needed to be on prescription diets and things like that, when really they just need to be on a low-carb food. Low-carb wet food is usually the best. And so the last, I would say, maybe of the last 10 diabetic cats that I've treated, I would say 8 are in remission. It's just dogs aren't as lucky, but cats, absolutely, there's always, always a chance if we remove the carbohydrates from their diet that they'll go into remission.
Sounds like a really simple solution for most of them.
I mean, I had a little older woman. She was just such a sweet lady. She's so sweet. But she had this very big kitty. He was like 20, 23 pounds. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, she said he wasn't doing well. So she brought him in. And, of course, you almost know right away what's wrong before you even see him, you know, when you know they're that heavy. So sure enough, you know, his blood sugar was, you know, wouldn't even read. It was so high. It was like 700 something. It says greater than, so then you know what's up there. And you know, she wouldn't have been able to give the insulin injection. She was very worried about him, about what was going to happen to him. And so what we ended up doing is switching him just to a low-carb wet food. And he actually lost about 5 pounds. And I have a little, like, graph over time. And he's now just diet controlled. He never needed insulin. We check him periodically, and his blood sugars are usually like 100 or 120, sometimes even like 70, you know, like depending on if he's eaten recently. But so, I mean, it was life-changing, because technically that would have been possibly a cat that would have had to be rehomed. Or for some people, they put them to sleep, you know, so it's like if we could just remove carbs from our cat's food, I think they'd all be in better shape.
Nicole, it just seems remarkable. I'm just kind of like shaking my head thinking, did she just really say that? Is it really that simple for some cases? You know, I mean, I think like that's excellent.
For a lot of cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, you know, even a kitty in our rescue, Sylvia, she came to us and noticed that she was urinating more frequently and stuff like that. So, you know, ran blood work, and sure enough, you know, her blood sugar was, well, I don't know, 350, 450 in that area. And, you know, she had been in a home where they just free-fed with dry food, and, you know, that they couldn't keep her anymore. And so we just switched her immediately to wet food, you know, like I said, lower than 7% carb. And there's a good resource out there. It's called Binky's Page. It's B-I-N-K-Y-S, so Binky. And there's dry and wet food lists. And for wet food, you want to stay as close to 0% carbs as you can. And for wet food, you want to stay less than 7. And then there are a few, like maybe 3 or 4 dry foods that kind of fit into that category as well. And you want to stay less than 13% for dry food. But with Sylvia, we switched her right away to a low-carb wet food, and she's never required insulin either. So, you know, she's been a year or two, you know, since she's been eating just low-carb wet food. And it doesn't have to be super, super, super expensive food. You know, even the Fancy Feast classic pâtés, you know, not the ones with gravy, not the flakes and things like that, but the actual classic pâtés that are just low-carb, I mean, that has saved, I can't even say, countless cats that, you know, their owners may not have a lot of money to feed them, you know, expensive foods. And so, I mean, that it's life-changing, you know. So I would urge people to find a cat vet, you know, and just know that your cats don't have to be on prescription diets for diabetes, unless they have other issues. Like Ninja, you know, here he has other issues. He just knocked his dish over. Sorry, that was very loud. But he has other issues, so he, you know, requires some different needs. But your average diabetic cat shouldn't need to be on prescription diet food.
Okay, you know, I have a couple follow up questions. I'm just frantically taking notes here. So Binky's list, is that a list of food for just dogs and cats that are diabetic, or is it a list of all pet foods that lists the carbs? And so then you read through that and figure out which one is best for your cat or dog. Is that, how do I interpretate that?
Yep. So basically Binky's page, there's several out there. I think there's 3. There's a dry, and then there's an old and a new wet food list. And what those are just pages and pages of most of the foods that are available to cats. It's not for dogs. It's all for cats. And then it lists, you know, the levels of different, you know, nutrients and percentages. But the main thing I use that is I just look at the carb percentage, and you want to stay as low as possible, as close to zero as you can. And so what I do is I usually either send that list home with people, or I email them the link, and they do their searching. And then I actually had a client of mine, she bought a bunch of the low-carb canned foods, and then she would test and see which ones her cat liked. And then she actually made a little list, and she laminated it and kept it in her wallet. So, like, when she was at the store, she knew exactly which foods she could pick from. It was brilliant. And so, you know, so once you have the actual list, you can make your own, you know, just by writing down all the ones that are low-carb and things like that. And, I mean, if the cat is doing well, before I ever start insulin on these cats, we'll do that. We'll switch diets. And more often than not, they never require insulin. Now, I shouldn't say never. More often than not, they don't. There are obviously going to be those cats who do need insulin. You know, like Ninja, he'll need it forever. He's looking right at me. He'll never be in remission just because he has inflammatory bowel disease as well. But the other thing is that a lot of cats, once they go on insulin and a low-carb wet food, they will actually go into remission. So there's always, always the hope for that, and I've seen that happen countless times. So it's not the death sentence some people make it out to be, and that's what is so hard for veterinarians and cat vets and animal rescue places, is that we see a lot of cats being euthanized because they're diabetic, and it's so sad because it's just that their body was getting too many carbohydrates usually.
That is really interesting. Now, you know, getting back to that client that you said you had an elderly client who brought her cat in, and right away you suspected diabetes, and right away that's what the diagnosis was after testing. And then you said that she never had to do the insulin shots, and
right.
that, you know, she changed the diet and things are well right now. What, I was like a little nervous when you were talking about that, even though it's a very happy story. But
oh, yes.
What?
Yes,
is there some sort of reaction the cat would have? You know what I mean? Like they're diabetic, they scored really high, and then they go home with different food. Is there, it just seems too simple. Like the body would need more help adjusting or something? Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a great question. And this plan can backfire. So you have to be, you have to work so closely with your vet. And it has to be, as the vet, you have to be very, very, very invested in checking in and things like that. And I almost have to really trust the client, too, in order to do this because, you know, this has gone wrong, you know, one time where a client wasn't as diligent as I had recommended. Because I, you know, what I want to do is when these cats come in, you know, when they're at, you know, 600, 700, you know, most times I ask the owners, well, does this cat like wet food? And they're like, I don't know. I've never tried wet food. Well, then I get excited because your average cat loves wet food. But the times that it's tough is when they say, or when they say, no, my cat won't eat wet food. Then we're in a pickle, you know, because we have to try really hard to get them to eat wet food or try to get them to eat a dry food that is more low carb. And we certainly don't ever want to just like cold turkey cut them off from their dry food, except in like that one case with that cat where the owner said, with the big kitty, she said, well, I don't know if he likes wet food. Well, it turned out that he just loved wet food. So it worked out where his body didn't go through any kind of like detox or, you know, anything like that, like carb withdrawal. But you have to be very careful because sometimes if you just pull away the dry food and you just start offering wet food, some of those cats won't eat. And a big cat that doesn't eat for, let's say, three days, I mean, that can be devastating. They can get fatty liver and
I'm going to interrupt you just real quick, although I do want to come back to this topic. Pet Appreciators, we're going into a commercial break. Please stay with us.
Reimagine a world without violence. On Saturday, January 27th, you're invited to participate in this day-long conference sponsored by Plymouth Congregational Church and the Reimagining Community. Opening and closing services will be led by musician Sarah Thompson. Workshop sessions will focus on immigration, the violence of racism, and how to begin dismantling white supremacy, the LGBTQ community and the violence they live with every day, facing trauma, the police community relationship, using art to help us reimagine nonviolent communication practices within families, and much more. This is the 25th anniversary of the original Reimagining Conference. Come join with others in exploring nonviolence, peace, and healing, with attention to the individual, family, and community. Again, this day-long conference takes place Saturday, January 27th at Plymouth Congregational Church in downtown Minneapolis. Online registration is open until January 23rd, with early bird registration available through January 15th. Find a full schedule of events and register online at reimaginingcommunity.org. Let's reimagine a world without violence together.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
And the first sentence of his email said, I'd like to stay anonymous. And the second sentence said, I'd like to donate $1 million to the Global Good Fund. Where should I send the check?
I'm Tony Lloyd, and I'm the host of the brand new show, Social Entrepreneur. If you love stories that engage, inform, and inspire, you don't want to miss it. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Now on display at the Museum of Russian Art is an exhibition of beautiful icons and sacred art from the 19th century called Russian Sacred Art, Connecting Heaven and Earth. Liturgical music from the best Russian choirs gently accompanies your experience of these pillars of spiritual life. Open daily and with free parking, Timora is the easiest museum to get to in Minneapolis, so plan your visit today at tmora.org, that is tmora.org.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Thanks for staying with us, Pet Appreciators. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And it's your usual hosts, Kathy and Dr. Nicole. We started out the conversation here this morning, Pet Appreciators, about cats and diabetes and the good news about treating diabetic cats. And Dr. Nicole gave a variety of examples of different cats. But the exciting news is that it's very treatable, you know, for most of these cats, and they can go into remission not long after being diagnosed. And I just think that that's so exciting. But there was one red flag that I had when Dr. Nicole was talking, and that was a senior owner with a very large cat, and they did a quick food change, and working with the owner and trusting the owner and you know, having that special relationship with them to communicate well seemed to do wonders as well, that was an important part of the treatment plan. But my red flags went up, Dr. Nicole, because I think of a lot of the seniors that we deal with every day. And just because you're a senior doesn't mean that you fall into a set category of what being a senior is like. And that's true with animals, as we both know as well. But, you know, I think of like one senior that we walk their dog a few times a day. And, you know, I was just thinking, boy, if she was the owner of this really big kitty, that's where my red flag came in, because she sleeps a lot. You know, the owner does. And she doesn't always know that we're there getting the dog. So we have to, and her eyesight isn't that good, and neither is her hearing. And so we have to do things in other ways to let her know that we're there, because she won't be able to see a note that we signed in and out. She doesn't always hear us. And if she's sleeping, I don't always want to wake her up, you know? So whatever. But that's, again, where my red flag was going, was like, oh gosh, what if the owner, you know, slept for like 5 hours, you know, maybe napped for 3, checked on the cat for, you know, was aware of the cat there for about another hour, then fell asleep into a little nap again, and then woke up. You know what I mean? Like, how do you really observe if you're not there all the time, kind of, you know? That's where my red flag came from, you know, and people who are gone a lot can often have, you know, they can get those cameras and stuff where they can watch their animals if they can't be physically in the same environment as their pet while they're observing them. But still, you know what I mean? That's kind of where I was coming from. But, you know, you talked about trust and a relationship and communication, and that is a huge part of any treatment plan, don't you think?
Yes. It definitely is. And you just have to keep in touch both with some of these things too, when we're trying something that might not be, I don't know the term to use, but it's probably not widely done. Maybe it is. But like for me, I did not want to start this cat on insulin because I knew this woman, she knew she couldn't do that. And I didn't want to just jump to the gun that, okay, well, we need to take this cat to our rescue. You know, this cat needs to be euthanized. I mean, no, like none of those were like options, you know? And so you just have, you know, we talked about it, and I said this might not work, but the main thing, and it's fine, you know, if in that situation where, you know, the client sleeps a lot and things like that, it's not really that careful of monitoring when they're not on insulin. When they are on insulin, it's more, I worry more about, you know, watching them very, very, very closely. But for me, you know, when I sent home, you know, the low-carb food recommendations and lots of handouts and things like that, for me, my biggest thing was to make sure, I said, we can do this as long as he is not continuing to lose weight. We didn't want any, you know, weight loss. I said, I don't want him guzzling water and urinating a ton, and I don't want him acting sick. If he seems sick one tiny bit, you know, we need to get him right back in here. And so she watched him very closely, and I checked in every couple of days, and, you know, how's he doing? Oh, he's just loving his food. He's got so much energy. I can't believe it. You know, he's just drinking less and he's urinating less. And I was just like, okay, well, and then, you know, I'm still real anal retentive. So I was like, okay, well, let's check a weight. And I think we checked a weight like every 1 to 2 weeks just to make sure. And we would check his glucose readings too, just to kind of see. And I made like I should send it to you someday, Kathy, but I made like a chart, like a little graph with the date and what he was with his weight. And then at the ending point where he was with his blood glucose numbers, and then how much weight he had lost too. And so now we see him come in just for wellness stuff, and he's still probably like 18 pounds or so, but I mean, that's down from, 25. And he, she's still working on it, and his glucose is still normal. So you have to be very careful, because it can go the opposite way too. If you withhold insulin from a cat who needs insulin, they can get very, very, very sick. I mean, they can pass away. They can get what's called diabetic ketoacidosis. And so that's why I checked in so frequently. Had she told me, oh, he's not really interested in eating tonight, I would have had her bring him right in, the next morning or that night. Or if she said, he's just drinking a ton and urinating a ton and he seems to be still losing weight, well, then that our plan wouldn't have worked and that cat would have needed insulin. So I hope that makes sense. But in a perfect world, it worked out just like that for that wonderful woman. But other times, it could go south too if you're not really careful.
I just find it fascinating. Diabetes is one of the most confusing diseases for me to understand. And I don't know why I can't grasp it. I just feel really lucky that so far, out of all the many, many pets that I've taken in, and predominantly those pets are all former clients where they can't take care of them anymore. I'm just glad that I haven't had that particular issue to deal with, medical issue, because I would feel that as an owner, I would probably fail and need an awful lot of extra support from the vet, you, basically.
I'm always fascinated by, you don't ever think it's going to happen to you, at least clients. Like you said, you're like, oh, I'm hoping that, doesn't happen. And that's what everyone thinks. Absolutely. Even myself, I have Ninja here, diabetic kiddo, and it changes your life. I mean, you have to be here for them or have someone who knows what they're doing every, basically every 12 hours, to do their shots and things like that. And for cats and even for dogs, I love when my clients can test them at home. I know that some vets don't like that. I think they feel like the clients get like the cat and maybe the dog, they don't like being poked. But like Ninja, for example, here, I just do his little ear prick while he's eating, and he doesn't even care, twice a day. And to me, that empowers me to know, okay, this is where his blood sugar is at, so I don't have the stress of giving him insulin and then being gone for, 12 hours. How is he doing? Things like that. So he's one that I may actually get a camera for, to be honest, because he stresses me out with my long hours. Many time, Grant, I have to text him and be like, how's he look? He's like, he's looking fine. But I definitely think I've been fascinated by the number of owners that just, you give them the news and there's initially some crying and some tears and they come back. I usually send them home with information and I let them read. I give them, links of videos to watch of how to test your animals, how to give insulin. And then I say, let's make an appointment for, the following day or something like that. And they usually come back just ready to go. They're motivated. They can do this. And, we've had even fosters in our rescue that maybe hadn't even dealt with needles before. They do it because the animal needs them. And so it's wonderful because it's definitely doable, and there's ways that we can make diabetes a lot more simple than it is.
That is that is such good news. I just have a big smile on my face. I just think it's such good, good news. And we are going into another commercial break, Pet Appreciator, so we hope that you stay with us. I do want to say always feel free to call in 952-946-6205.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at Victor's1959Cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
A coalition of Minnesota advocacy and activist groups have united to commemorate the anniversary of the 2017 Women's March with a one-day conference for experienced and newly motivated activists to turn outrage into action for ongoing grassroots efforts in the work for social justice. The Min by Min 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference will be held January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The conference centers around three themes: community building, effective activism skills, and understanding the issues. Dr. Rose Brewer, professor of African American and African Studies at the University of Minnesota, will present the keynote entitled Forging Revolutionary Change in an Era of Right-Wing Reaction. Other planned sessions include presentations bridging the red-blue divide from Better Angels, Minnesota, women of color leaders in the social justice movement from Take Action Minnesota, caucus training, and much more. So turn your resistance into action at the Min by Min 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference. Again, that's January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The full schedule and registration is available at minbymin.org. That's mnxmn.org.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, the art of nonviolence.
I'm all for nonviolence, when it works.
Well, it worked fine for Gandhi, MLK, and Mandela.
But it was violence that ended slavery and defeated the Nazis.
At the cost of millions of lives, there must be a better way.
You sound like a dreamer, John.
The art of nonviolence, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Sunday has an 80% chance of precipitation, with a high of 36 and a low of 28. Monday, expect 4 to 8 inches of snow, with a high of 30 and a low around 14. Tuesday will be mostly sunny, with a high of 24 and a low around 9. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is The Great Wall. Specializing in Szechuan and Peking dishes, The Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Stop by their Edina location, located just north of 50th and France. See the full menu at GreatWallRestaurant.us.
Appreciators, welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here. The Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So again, thank you for joining us. It's Kathy and Dr. Nicole here, your co-host, Pet Appreciators. And again, I hope that you are having a great weekend. Beautiful weather. Well, maybe not so much today, but nicer weather, and that always feels really good after those sub-zero temperatures. It just is nice to have a little bit of a break. Although I have to say, I really, really, really hope that we get a fair amount of snow, you know, because we've got the City of Lakes Lopet coming up with ski joring activities, you know, for people and their pets. And I'm not sure if they're having dog sled racing this year or not, but I know the ski joring and then, of course, all the cross-country ski races. And so I hope, and activities, lots and lots of fun activities. But it's a good pet-friendly outdoor event, Pet Appreciators. And we're going to be cheering for Chili. He's one of our clients. He's a lab mix, and he came in second last year at the ski joring race, the one dog race. I think they have a one dog and a two dog race, but he came in second, and he's going to go for it again. So we're going to cheer Chili on here. And I'm not sure if it's you know, the following weekend, the 26th, 27th, 28th, or if it's the Super Bowl weekend, because I know the Lopet has a couple different weekends now, and some things going on in the middle as well. So it's going to be a long celebration for sure of winter activities. And then, of course, I want snow for the Super Bowl. Not that it has anything to do with it, but it's just nice when we showcase our city to have some beautiful snow as part of that. So I'm just hoping for snow. Isn't that crazy? I'm just hoping for it. But anyways.
Yeah, coming from you.
I know.
you're like the tropical girl.
I know. I'm the little island, the city girl that loves the island. But yeah. Anyways, that's the way it goes. But I'm excited just to showcase our city because I love Minneapolis. I love Minneapolis and I love St. Paul and the surrounding areas. I just didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but whatever, kind of hoping for snow. And it's kind of dumb not only for me to wish that, because think of how much driving, you know, I do. Yeah. For my business and our staff.
During the Super Bowl, how much driving you're going to be doing. I always wonder about you whenever I hear that there's, you know, like bridge closures and things like that. I'm thinking, oh, Kathy, I wish you could just like lift up your vehicle and like fly, you know,
I know.
With all your little spots, you know.
But I'm already talking to all of our downtown clients. It's just like, how are we going to do this? You know,
right.
Like seriously, how physically can we get to your dog? You know, because some of them are right there, you know, in the condos and apartments right there surrounding the U.S. Bank Stadium. And then, of course, I live by Lake of the Isles, Pet Appreciator, so it's a lappet. So, you know, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, you know.
It would be so nice. I mean, probably not for your business, but it would be so nice during that week. Or that weekend, I should say, of the Super Bowl, if, like, hopefully everyone stays home and just doesn't need your services or something, so you don't have to, I just think about you, like, stuck in traffic, or, you know what I mean, how scary for you and stressful.
Stressful.
And when you can't get there, like you said, oh, my goodness, yeah, that'll be interesting. But at least you can, you know, tell them now, what do we do?
Exactly.
what is the plan?
Yeah, are you working? You know, some of these people might not even be going into work, especially on that Friday and the Monday, you know, surrounding the Super
Bowl
Sunday.
Exactly, yeah.
So do we change their days? Like if they're part-time,
yeah.
do we change their days and have them come at the beginning of the week? Do you want to just board them that weekend? I mean, what do you want to do?
Right.
You know,
oh,
because
man.
Driving in by Lake
You'll
of the Isles
is,
yeah, in Uptown, that's going
to
be crazy. You know, and they got it two weekends now. And so it's not like just a one weekend event. So, yeah, I'm just thinking the main part. And then our building in St. Louis Park, we're safe. You know, I don't think there's anything
right.
going on in that particular, you know, six block area or something. So, but yeah. And, you know, I may sound nice on the air, Pet Appreciators, but you put me in a car in traffic. I am a different person. And I have the tint on my windows. Not that I ordered the truck that way. I bought it used that way. But boy, am I glad. And I'm even gladder when I forget to wash the windows and I'm mad at the person in front of me for not stepping on the gas pedal. Because you know what? When you're at a green light, you should step on your gas pedal. That's just all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
I always laugh because you of all people understand like my struggles because of how busy we are and just we like things quickly. Like I'm not patient. I want the fax machine to hurry up. You know, the computer, if it could just hurry up and not freeze, you know, like yes, at a green light you go. You know,
I know.
It's just, we don't have a lot of time to wait.
Right. And you know, there's one person that I'll give like instructions to, you know, a few times a week. And as soon as that person says the word I know it's like wanting to clarify everything that I just said. And I tell you, I have a hard time with that too. I have to consciously tell myself, Kathy, shut up. You know, just take a deep breath. Shut up.
Yep.
Because a lot of there's so many people that I communicate on, you know, sometimes like every hour, and I'm sure you do too. There's just, even if it's a, you know, a type of communication that lasts 5 seconds, or if it's a text,
yep.
or if it's whatever. But, and there's some people that really can digest a lot of information really fast, and there's some that need, you know what I mean, to take a deep breath, refocus everything, repeat everything, and that's how they learn, and then they do it right. But I'm always like, you know, going 55 in a 30-mile lane, and they're going 20 in a 30. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So yeah. So that's okay, though. Takes all
of
us.
There's a running joke at the clinic because, you know, I move fast at the clinic. I'm always, you know, moving and shaking and running. And one of our previous doctors, we used to laugh so hard because she was just always so leisure. And I was like, step aside, step. It was a huge joke. And so she'd see me coming and she'd just run aside. And like, even like new employees are like, well, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm coming in hot, you know. I need to be moving. Move out of my way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's that's hilarious. But yeah, so. Oh gosh. Well, I wanted to talk about leg issues because I'm dealing that with a client right now, and I just want a refresher. And hey, if you own a dog, especially a lab or a golden or somebody who's very, very active, a breed that's very active, you might very well be dealing with leg and knee issues yourself. But before we get into that, Pet Appreciators, you know, I was thinking today, is there probably is, but we might not always hear about it. But I was just thinking of what sort of like major weather disaster is happening now. And I couldn't think of one off the top of my head. But, of course, the most recent one in my mind is a terrible mudslides. Oh, my gosh. I just couldn't imagine that, you know, after the fires, the Thomas fires, and then the mudslides in the same area. And I was reading that Alley Cat Allies, which is a nonprofit organization, does an awful lot of phenomenal work on behalf of the feline population, whether they're pets or feral or whatever. And Dr. Nicole is way more familiar with this than I am. But I just wanted to say that organization is doing wonders in terms of helping to care for, to catch and care for these pet cats that have not, both pet cats and just sort of like in the community cats, whether you want to call them feral cats or just outdoor cats without really a home. They're just doing an awful lot of work. And if you feel like you want to contribute financially somehow or volunteer somehow, I would just say go to alleycat.org, alleycat.org. And but I think the full name is Alley Cat Allies, but the website is alleycat, alleycat.org. You know, it's just a good organization, and just think of them sometimes, pet appreciators, and help out if you can. And if you're a cat owner, you'll appreciate that website too. So I just
wanted to say
that.
Yeah, they have a lot of really good resources on their website too. I really like that group.
Yeah, way to go. Just way to go for that organization. Yep. So 4 minutes here, and then we've got one segment after this, Dr. Nicole. So, you know, I'm taking care of our beloved Wiley. He and his brother Tucker, they've been part of the Urban Dog family for quite a long time, and then a dog before that too, Griffin. And Griffin has passed, and Tucker has taken his place, but it's been a few years now. And they're golden retrievers, all from the same breeder. And but Wiley, active Wiley, a wonderful golden retriever. There's nothing wrong with this dog's personality. I mean, you just couldn't get another. You know what I mean? You got all the best qualities in Wiley. And Saturday night, not this Saturday, but Saturday before, I think he had done something outside, or maybe inside, but nothing noticeable because he didn't scream or yelp or anything. And, you know, somebody in the family was like, hey, you know, he's not putting weight on his left leg, back left leg. And so they went to the vet. Matter of fact, they went to the vet a couple of times, I think, in one day, just because in between he did let out a great big screech after going potty. And that caused the mother to worry, obviously. Me too, I would be worried. And so he went right back, but or maybe it was like the next day. But, you know, x-rays were done and that kind of thing, and nothing glaring. And so he's on some Rimadyl, and then he's on gabapentin. I'm not sure.
Yep.
It is? I don't know.
Yes. Yep,
gabapentin. Like pain? Like, okay, so, but he's staying with me because the family had a really busy weekend and the mom was traveling. So he's been with me since, I think, Wednesday night. And so we're just keeping him real confined in a smaller room with memory foam, you know, dog beds. And, you know, it's about the size of a small kitchen. Let's just say that. And so he can get up and walk a little bit and then sit down again. But, you know, and we're just taking him out on his leash to go potty and comes right back in. And the front door doesn't have any stairs, so we don't have to worry about that. We're just assuming that he's going to get better, right? You know, just maybe he sprained it or whatever. So, but that medication was kind of, the daytime staff were like, Kathy, he's kind of staring into space here. And if that's what the purpose was, to make him kind of knocked out and just, you know, just it's working because he's not doing anything with the leg. So if that was the purpose, then that definitely succeeded. But she did say, you know, one of the main staff is like, Kathy, he's just staring at the gate. He's just staring at it. And then when I was there during the day for many hours, you know, just to kind of watch him, he just didn't move. So I thought, okay, well, then I talked to the owners. I said, can we just double check with your vet, you know, because the vet, I know this vet, excellent vet, and can we just maybe see, change the dosage just a little bit? And but I tell you, there's nothing different with the leg. And so I want to work miracles, just why not, you know? So I was just like, oh, you know, the right environment, and I'm helping the owners and blah, 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 blah. But the leg, dang it, it's not changing. It's not getting any worse. Certainly not, you know, improving. And so he just kind of lets it hang there. And then sometimes he lifts it up way, way, way up high. I don't know why, as if he thinks he's going to go through a really big puddle or something when there isn't one there. I don't know why. But then sometimes he will put weight on it and walk normal. And then after walking normal for about 30 seconds, then he lifts it up again. And so I just, it's Sunday, Dr. Nicole, and I'm going to be with him all day, and I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. But I can't really ask you to answer my question because we're going into a commercial break. So could you wait a minute and stay with us, Pet Appreciators?
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com. Love the Scandinavian feel of Ingebretsen's on East Lake Street? Then you need to check out also Ingebretsen's Coffee Bar in Norway House on Franklin Avenue. Their menu includes Nordic waffles, lefse dogs, and Scandinavian pastries and cookies, which pair well with their Viking Biking coffee and Spring Grove sodas. Also Ingebretsen's Coffee Bar is located at 913 Franklin Avenue and online at ingebretsens.com. With breathtaking views of the Mississippi River, the Nicollet Island Inn features the comfort of the countryside right in the heart of Minneapolis. Perfect for weddings, seminars, or a romantic night out, the tasteful merger of classic decor with modern amenities will make your next event unforgettable. Call 612-331-1800 or visit NicoletteIslandInn.com.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee, and I have a show on AM 950 Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 o'clock. It's a free-form hour of news, interviews, and your phone calls. We don't do 10-second sound bites and yelling and screaming about issues. That may make for great entertainment, but it really doesn't help to solve the real problems we face. We try to get the whole story and have an intelligent discussion. We also occasionally have a little fun. Listen in from 4 to 5 o'clock on AM 950 Radio.
A coalition of Minnesota advocacy and activist groups have united to commemorate the anniversary of the 2017 Women's March with a one-day conference for experienced and newly motivated activists to turn outrage into action for ongoing grassroots efforts in the work for social justice. The Men by Men 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference will be held January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The conference centers around three themes: community building, effective activism skills, and understanding the issues. Dr. Rose Brewer, professor of African American and African Studies at the University of Minnesota, will present the keynote entitled Forging Revolutionary Change in an Era of Right-Wing Reaction. Other planned sessions include presentations bridging the red-blue divide from Better Angels, Minnesota, women of color leaders in the social justice movement from Take Action, Minnesota, caucus training, and much more. So turn your resistance into action at the Men by Men 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference. Again, that's January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The full schedule and registration is available at menbymen.org. That's MNXMN.org.
Thanks for staying with us, Pet Appreciators. And I want to jump right back into knee and leg injuries and how to recognize, you know, and what's the best thing to do, how to recognize when it's a problem and when the problem isn't going away, and how long do you wait in between? You know what I mean? So again, Wiley isn't my dog, and the owner and the veterinarian are going to do wonderful together, you know, coming up with a plan. But, you know, it's just me here on Sunday with them. And so, you know, just kind of, if you wouldn't mind, Dr. Nicole, just kind of educating me a little bit about when do you get concerned? Do like torn ACLs always show up on or partial torn ACLs, do they always show up on x-rays? What happens when they continue to favor it and then nothing is on the x-ray, and then what? You know what I mean? Then what do you do?
Yes, welcome to my world. So I usually, you know, any large breed dog or, you know, medium to large breed dog, when they come in limping on their back leg, especially if it's a breed like you mentioned, a golden retriever, a Labrador, a boxer, those are like the three main culprits in my mind. If they come in limping, it's almost always a torn ACL until proven otherwise. I mean, I know that sounds terrible. And there are those things for little dogs too, but it just is so common. And so generally, I'd say the most common time we see these are, you know, ACL tears that have been slowly kind of brewing over time. Maybe they've been a partial tear and then, you know, the swelling died down and didn't hurt. But the problem with these breeds is that they also don't show until it's quite bad. You know, if it's different for a little tiny poodle or something, they might get bumped and they're going to tell you about it, you know, right away for a long time. Whereas Labs and Goldens and Boxers, they just are so busy being crazy that they don't really show us their fear or their pain, I should say. And so if it's an injury that has happened immediately, that's going to be harder to see, obviously, on x-ray, because the changes that we see on x-ray would be, you know, inflammation in front of the knee, inflammation behind the knee. And then, you know, there's areas where you can see, like, the tibia is pushed a little bit more, we say cranially, or more toward the head than it should be because there's been a tear in that ligament that holds it in place. There's other, like, bony changes that can happen, you know, within the joint and things like that. But those are more chronic changes. I think acutely you would probably see, you know, inflammation. You would see a fusion, and we can see that on x-ray. But if it's not a blatant ACL tear, you know, the other things that we consider, we always wonder, okay, you know, do they have Lyme disease? I mean, obviously not in this case of the dog that you're talking about, since they heard a yelp. You know, Lyme disease can cause big swollen joints that are painful, and the dogs will limp, but they often have a fever and they feel sick. You know, dogs with ACL tears, they usually feel just fine. It's just that they walk exactly like what you described, Kathy. They'll walk a little bit, or they'll toe touch. They'll hold it up sometimes. If they're standing to drink water or eat, you'll notice that most of their weight is shifted all the way onto the other leg on the back. And so that it's just subtle, but you can tell they're trying to put as little weight as possible on that leg. And, you know, we use pain control exactly like you described, you know, an NSAID like Rimadyl or Daramax or Prevacox, Medicam. Those are kind of the big four. Usually we'll add in something like gabapentin. And I laughed only because the side effect of gabapentin can be sedation, where they kind of look like they're staring into space. So the dose might be just maybe need to be adjusted a little bit. But it's not bad for them to take it easy. You know, that's what we want. We want them to rest. We want the inflammation to die down, and we want to kind of reassess, you know, what you're left with. The majority of these dogs, and it sounds like this dog, Wiley, if it is an ACL tear, it sounds like the only thing that will be able to be done is a surgical fix. I've known a few dogs in the past that have been able to escape surgery, and they'll do that because maybe it was a partial tear, and, you know, the dog is a nice lean weight, and the owners did everything right. They rested. You know, they're doing joint supplements. They're doing fish oils. They're doing all of this. They've done physical therapy. And sometimes that, you know, the arthritis just kind of sets in the knee, and it almost forms like a false joint, so to speak, you know, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Sure. Could you say that last part? You faded away just a little bit. Could you say that last part again? That was interesting.
Oh, almost like a false joint, like the arthritis and the muscles and the joint there can be, you know, inflammation. It almost forms like a false joint. And some of those dogs are able to be comfortable. I don't know how, but they're able to be comfortable that way, and they don't limp, and then they won't need surgery. But I would say the majority, 9 out of 10 dogs, the only way that you fix this is with a surgical fix by an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, a board certified.
Yep.
Board, yeah. And I'm sure she'll go through her vet with that, but do most clinics have board certified veterinarians, surgeons on their staff or contract with them that they make regular routine weekly visits or something?
You know, there are some places that actually have boarded surgeons. You know, the University of Minnesota, of course, Blue Pearl, of course. There's some other clinics, too, in the area that have really good board-certified surgeons. I can't remember exactly what clinics they are, but they're going to be in the southern metro, I think. And then what most clinics, my clinic in particular, too, we just contact board-certified surgeons that actually come to our practice and do the procedures. And it's very common. I mean, we had one just this past week. One day we had three yellow labs sitting back there waiting to get their knees done. Just right in a row.
Sounds
three
like
yellow labs.
Like a beauty parlor place. Everybody's just waiting their turn.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, so that's the most common. But, yeah, you know, my sister's boxer had it done on both knees, and she's so glad she did it. You know, she's 10 now. I think, you know, my sister is very glad, you know, that they did it, because she can live a somewhat normal life. And prior to that, they can't, you know, these active breeds, they need the surgery in order to really lead a really good quality of life.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that's what I was thinking. And it's hard, I think, for owners to, I know one of the owners, it was just like, wait a minute, I've never heard of this. You know, wait a minute. What do you mean? Surgery? How long is the recovery? You know, like, what do we have to do to adjust? And, you know, like, it's not a part of your life. And then suddenly it's a very big part of your life, and it's going to start, you know, right now. So, and that's true with all kinds of medical conditions that result in sort of emergency care or somewhat urgent care. So, but yeah, so that's good to know. Gosh, Dr. Nicole, as always, I have learned so much, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. I just love the way that you explain things, and I appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. So, Pet Appreciators, we are, you know, winding up the show here for this week. Next week, I'm going to do whatever I can, Pet Appreciators. I don't know if I can follow through with this or not, but I'm going to try really, really hard, and that is to drive up to Two Harbors and do the show live from the starting line of the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon. So I'm working on that this week, and we'll see if I make it or not. If not, hey, it's back to the basement studio here at AM 950, which I'm really cool about anyways, too. So, Dr. Nicole, a million thank yous for everything you do. And Pet Appreciators, you are appreciated, and have a great, wonderful week. Take care, everybody.